Tonight we're going to have a Dhamma talk by our teacher Mike.
What a great chant that Susan selected for us this evening, sending and receiving. And I was really struck by the first line of it. Bodhicitta is the nature of our human body, a body with great wisdom. Bodhicitta is the energy that arises in our practice and is often described as the longing to save all beings. And so in this chant, you have this remarkable opening we discover bodhicitta simply by being embodied, simply by entering into the awareness and sensation of our human form. And the chant goes on to describe the way the human body is formed of the earth and then returns to the earth, suggesting this profound interwoven quality of our human self, the way we are made of non-self elements, and the way that we return to non-self elements. And of course, this is not just in birth and death. This is every moment, us made of non-self elements, returning to non-self elements. The quality of our interwovenness is at the heart of bodhicitta, this longing to save all beings. And of course, there is the self-centered version of bodhicitta, which is not a bad thing. It is just acknowledging the existence of this arising, ever-changing arising that is ourselves. The longing to create a better world because that world is part of us. The self-interested aspect of bodhicitta. And of course, in our sitting practice, I think there is less a causal sense of bodhicitta that can arise as well. The sense of simply receiving what is here in this moment that enters through the form of this human body. For me, being embodied has long been a very important part of practice. We hear Hakuin say, don't detach from this skin bag here and now. Really being present in the physical form is a wonderful way to practice. I was thinking that I have given a lot of talks about these very, sort of esoteric aspects of practice and the philosophy of Buddhism in a way. Grounding it, I hope, in some sense of the descriptiveness of it, the qualitative aspect of practice. But this is a very simple, almost technical thing that we can do in our practice. We can be awake to our human form. We can sit, we can feel our bottoms on the cushions or seats. We can feel the knees touching the zabuton. We can feel our upright posture, and we can really feel our breathing. We can allow the breathing of the air in and out not to be an abstraction. And of course, in some ways, it does symbolize our connectedness. But in another sense, it is quite beyond anything conceptual at all. Just this breathing body in and out. Even where in and out disappear, there's not even a sense of that anymore. Just the movement of our bodies. And as we sit, for me, this aspect of just entering into the physical form, entering into presence, is called forth with a simple question that I've mentioned before to you that is a part of my practice. Often right when I just sit down, the question almost pops up naturally now for me. Just what is? This curiosity, what is here now? And of course the body is here. And so there is a sense of the arising of this, the sensation of physical form. And through the body, the sense is alive, right? The ears, eye, ear, nose, all of our senses, sense of touch. We can hear the laughter downstairs. We can hear the voices rising through the floor. And as we sit, we may find that it isn't clear to us which voice is ours, the one from the basement below or the little words that float through our own minds. Because there is a sense of boundlessness that we encounter through sitting, a sense of our physical form at first seeming quite bounded by our skin, but realizing that, of course, our senses extend far beyond our skin. Our awareness is something that extends out into the world. So through this practice of simply being embodied, we do discover boundlessness. It's quite a paradox. Like everything in our tradition, it seems, we talk about entering into one physical form, and in that physical form we find the entire universe. Dogen talks about one blade of grass is all beings. We are that blade of grass. We sit upright like a blade of grass in the sun, and we receive. We receive the universe through our breath, through our ears, through our eyes. We are awake to these presences. And often we do can experience the sense that everything that arises is love. Because there is such a profound sense of intimacy. Like the chant says, we find that our bodies are love, love itself manifesting. The intimacy of the world, the encounter, the primal encounter, pre-thought, the sense of just presence, the sense of the sound of our own breathing, but not knowing whose it is. No attribution necessary, just this. And of course, thoughts do arise. We hear the voices in the basement, and of course, there's some kind of reactivity. The fan is on, and we think there's an airplane in the room with us. We maybe hate it, maybe like it. Whatever it is, we have our thoughts and reactions. But as we sit embodied, there's a transformation of our relationship with thought that is really possible. It's not that thought stops, not for me anyway. And it's not that suffering stops. And that's another part of this chant that I really appreciate. It doesn't say as we enter into our embodied practice that suffering ends. And we are released forever from the pain of being human beings and being in difficult relationships and all that comes with living in this world. Quite on the contrary, when we are embodied, we are awake to all of those things. We are awake to the thoughts that arise. But we are not only awake to the thoughts that arise. There is some way that the shins are aware of themselves. The pressure on the cushion, just always present, or our feet on the floor, or our hands resting, whatever it may be, there's always this arising of sensation. And this we often is sort of the landscape of our lives, and our thoughts are in the foreground. Sometimes our thoughts are so strong that they just eclipse our bodily awareness and our boundlessness. But it is also true that we are boundless and that our thoughts sometimes quiet or recede. And it's not that this is better. It is just we notice this when it happens. Sometimes our thoughts quiet. Sometimes they begin to recede into the distance and the foreground steps forth. And instead, the laughter, the sounds with just intimate, just encounter, without the thought interrupting anything. And so we do this dance of kind of being embodied and noticing thoughts that pass through the station. So our bodies are, rather than jumping onto the train of thought that goes by, our bodies just sit like Buddha statues, immovable, as the thoughts pass through, like trains passing through a station. So there is something profound about being embodied, the way that it grounds us, and everything else seems to be moving, and we are these rock-solid mountains. Thus, the image of sitting like a mountain, the solidity of that, which is so interesting because we talk about emptiness and impermanence and a sense of boundlessness. And yet, right in the midst of that boundless space, there is this solidity that is our human form, that is in some way the gateway to this boundlessness for us as human beings. So nothing need be neglected. No reason to escape from our bodily sensations, but rather this marvelous opportunity to enter into them. And similarly with thoughts, to allow thoughts to come, to allow them even to take the foreground when they do. Very strong experience when that happens. But to remember, our practice is also to remember the presence of our physical form and of our body in the midst of the great tumult of a mind gone wild, like voices in the basement. Sometimes that's exactly what the mind feels like. Blah, 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 blah. And you know, that is it. It just rises into the foreground. No problem. No problem. The body recedes into the background for a bit, and the body emerges. The boundless body, the Buddha body. So our practice and noticing that just our awareness itself is the practice we seek. Nothing more than that. So simple. And that awareness itself is bodhicitta. It is saving all beings. It's not only the longing to save all beings, because there are no beings separate from ourselves. There are no separate selves. Just this one arising, uninterrupted. And in that, all beings are saved. What is left out of this present moment, says Dogen. So I guess a very simple encouragement tonight, I think. This remarkable possibility for us all in our practice to just be embodied. Trust that the body is the gateway to boundlessness, and that it is boundlessness, that there is nothing more that we need to do other than just be awake to the sensations of life itself. And out of that comes this great compassion and this amazing capacity to hold the whole world just as it is. In fact, we don't really do it. We don't hold the world. The world holds itself. And we discover that. We can lean into that and have faith in that. The world holding itself, the world holding us, and no gap between. Thank you.